This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It doesn't just test people with status and people with wealth in terms of where they got their wealth from or how they earned their status or the academics, how they achieved their certification. Even, and in fact, more so than anybody else, the one that is endowed with knowledge of Allah and the Messenger of Allah, of the Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, Rasulullah, salawatu rabbi salamu alayhi, they must even be more so careful. And I start with myself, as a student of deen. May Allah make us all true students of deen. That we should never ever let the intention for acquiring that knowledge be لِنُبَاهِ بِهِ الْعُلَمَاء أو لِنُجَادِلْ بِهِ السُّفَهَاء. That we should attain knowledge as a form of boasting in front of learned people or as a form of argumentation and refutation of ordinary lay people. The acquisition of knowledge has to be, like all other acts of ibadah, it must be purely for the sake of Allah and for His sake alone. And as Abu al-Ishaq al-Albiri, what does he say about knowledge? وَيَجْلُو مَا بِعَيْنِكَ مِنْ غِشَاهَا وَيَهْدِيكَ الطَّرِيقَ إِذَا ضَلَلْتَ وَتَحْمِلُ مِنْهُ فِي نَادِيكَ تَاجًا وَيَكْسُوكَ الْجَمَالَ إِذَا عَرِيتَ يَنَالُكَ نَفْعُهُ مَا دُمْتَ حَيًّا وَيَبْقَى لَكَ ذِكْرُ إِنْ ذَهَبْتَ هو العدب المهند ليس ينبو تسيب به مقاتل من أردت وكنز لا تخاف عليه لصة خفيف الحمل يوجد حيث كنت. He's speaking to his son Abu Bakr, and he says to him, knowledge will lift the veil from your eyes. You'll see the world for what it really is, and it'll cause you to wear a crown amongst the people and a garment of beauty, even if you're void of that, even if you are void of that beauty. As long as you're alive, you will benefit from your knowledge. And even after you have died, your knowledge that you have attained and disseminated for the sake of Allah will continue to benefit you in the barzakh. He said, هو العدب المهند. It is like the Indian scimitar, the Saracen sword, the deadliest of all swords in its time. تُسِيبُ بِهِ مَقَاتِلَ مَنْ أَرَدْتَ. Anybody you fight with this weapon of knowledge, you'll defeat them. وَكَنْزٌ لَا تَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ لِسَّ. This is my favorite one. And a treasure that you have no fear of being stolen. I mean, can you imagine? You're walking, you've got your knowledge in your chest. Not in the book or in the cell phone. That can be taken away. As Al-Imam al-Ghazali found out when the highway robbers took his books away from him. And he said, oh, but you're going to take my knowledge. And the highway robber laughed at him. Oh, you mean I can just steal your knowledge from you? And from that day, Al-Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he took a pledge that any knowledge that he would learn, he would memorize. In fact, he memorized 12,000 pages in Aqidah before he even spoke on the topic of Aqidah. So he says, وَكَنْزٌ لَا تَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ لِصَّ. It's a treasure that you have no fear of being stolen. Imagine a gangster, you know, holding up a guy, a learned guy, give me your knowledge. خَفِيفُ الْحَمْلِ. It's light in weight. يُوجَدُ حَيْثُ كُنْتَ. It goes with you wherever you go. In the end of this part of the poem, he says, فَلَوْ قَدْ ذُقْتَ مِنْ حَلْوَاهُ طَعْمًا لَآثَرْتَ التَّعَلُّمَ وَاجْتَهَدْتَ. If you must just get a taste of this knowledge, the knowledge of Islam, the knowledge of Iman, the knowledge of Allah, the knowledge of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, التَّعَلُّمَ وَاجْتَهَدْتَ, you would prefer learning over everything else, and you would have worked hard and made great effort therein. So, Jamaat al-Muslimin, nobody increases in knowledge, says Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, except that this will increase them in humility, because the more we learn, the more we realize how little we know, and the more we learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beautiful names and His perfect attributes and this perfect deen that He has given to us via revelation of the Holy Quran to our beloved Prophet Muhammad Khair al-Anam salawatu rabbi salamu alayhi, the more conscious and mindful and closer we shall draw to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing, knowledge. And what is the sign of happiness and success? Whenever they increase in knowledge, they increase in humility, they increase in mercy. Because they know, man la yarham la yurham. The one that doesn't show mercy, mercy will not be shown to them. They know, because they have the knowledge, they know. Ar-rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-rahman. The people that show mercy, the most merciful will show mercy to them. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fil sama. Show mercy to those who are on the dunya, the one in the heavens will show mercy to you. The second thing, whenever they increase in age, their greed decreases. Now the word for greed here is hirs. Hirs. Hirs is like a person that is constantly thinking about attaining more. Hirs is more like a fruit of greed. It's one of the symptoms or signs of greed. Is hirs ala nayl ad-dunya. Always thinking about getting more, attaining more, gathering more of the dunya. So one of the signs of happiness and success is that when a person gets older, that hirs should decrease. Otherwise, the person's never going to have happiness and certainly no success. Because greed, as our beloved Prophet warned us, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالطَّمَعْ فَإِنُّ الْفَقْرُ الْحَاضِرِ. Beware of greed, because greed is immediate poverty. A person that is greedy, no matter how much they attain of this dunya, they will never be satisfied, they will never be happy, they will never feel successful, because they will always want more. As in the hadith Qudsi, يَا بَنَا آدَمْ عِنْدَكَ مَا يَكْفِيكَ وَأَنْتَ تَطْلُبُ مَا يُطْغِيكَ لَا بِقَلِيلٍ تَقْنَعْ وَلَا مِنْ كَثِيرٍ تَشْبَعْ إِذَا كُنْتَ مُعَافًا فِي بَدْنِكَ آمِنًا فِي سِرْبِكَ عِنْدَكَ قُوتُ يَوْمِكَ لَقَدْ حِيزَتْ لَكَ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِيرِهَا. Hadith Qudsi, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah says, O mankind, you have that which is enough for you, but you want that which is going to send you astray. You're not satisfied with a little bit, neither are you happy with a lot, because you always want more. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا كُنْتَ, number one, مُعَافًا فِي بَدْنِكَ, if you have your health, خُسُنْتَيْتَ. What did one of the great hukama, one of the great wise people said? He said, أَصِحَّةُ تَاجٌ عَلَى رَؤُسِ الْأَصِحَّةِ لَا يَرَاهَا إِلَّا الْمَرْضَى. Health is a crown on the heads of the healthy, which only the sick people can see. Health is a crown on the heads of the healthy, which only the sick people can see. إِذَا كُنْتَ مُعَافًا فِي بَدْنِكَ, if you have your health. آمِنًا فِي سِرْبِكَ, you have your refuge, your duck or your cop, your peace, your safety and security. عِنْدَكَ قُوتُ يَوْمِكَ, and you have your daily bread. لَقَدْ حِيزَتْ لَكَ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِيرِهَا, then you've attained the dunya and everything in it. Ask the people of Gaza. Ask the people of Gaza, who many have lost their health and lost their safety and security, lost their roof over their head, literally, and even lost their daily provision. Many parts of Gaza today, there is famine, wal'iyadu billah. Let's not wait for it to happen to us before we wake up. Like Sayyidina Umar, when he came in front of the Kaaba, leading the Hujjaj from Medina to Makkah, when he came in front of the Kaaba, what did he say? Allahumma la tukthil li min ad-dunya fa'atgha, wa la tuqlil li minha fa'ansa, fa'innama qalla wa kafa khayrun mimma kathura wa alha. He said, oh Allah, don't give me too much of the dunya so that it sends me astray. Because it can. Wallahi, it can. It can also be a key to Jannah if we understand the responsibility of the wealth. But if we don't, ask Mr. Didi and his comrades. That's wealth. That's the danger of wealth. A person who receives wealth and they don't understand the responsibility of that wealth, it can literally take them to Jahannam. Wal'iyadu billah. Allahumma ajirna min an-nar. He said, Allahumma la tukthir li min ad-dunya fa atgha. I challenge firstly myself and all of you to make this dua. Oh Allah, don't give me too much of the dunya so that it sends me astray. That's why never ever ask for dunya without this caveat. And that is the caveat of, oh Allah, choose and decide for me. Allahumma khirli wa khtarli. Oh Allah, choose for me and decide for me. If it's good for me, and only if it's good for me, grant it to me. And if it's bad for me, keep it away from me. Oh Allah, don't give me too much of the dunya so that it causes me to go astray. I found a riwaya, one hadith, one narration of a particular hadith. إذا أحب الله عبدا صرف عنه الدنيا صرف عنه الدنيا. If Allah loves a servant, if Allah loves a servant, then He keeps the dunya away from them. Now, this must be understood. It doesn't necessarily mean that if Allah is giving us of the dunya, that Allah doesn't love us. But if Allah loves a servant, if Allah loves goodness for a servant, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep away from that servant which He loves that which is not good for His servant. So when it doesn't come to us, after we have said, Ya Allah, choose and decide for me, if it comes to us, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me something that is good for me. And if it doesn't come to us, then say, Alhamdulillah, phew, Allah has saved me. He said, oh Allah, don't give me too much of the dunya that it causes me to go astray. And don't give me too little so that I neglect my responsibilities. Don't give me too little so that I neglect my responsibilities. I have needs, my dependents have needs, and those needs need to be fulfilled. And Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib said, radiallahu anhu, he said, لو كان الفقر رجلا لقتلته. If poverty was a man, I would have killed him. Because poverty with weakness of faith can lead to disbelief. So nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to be in need. اليد العليا أفضل من اليد السفلى. The upper hand, the giving hand, is better than the receiving hand. And then he said, فإنما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألها. And he said, for indeed, that which is small in amount but suffices is better than that which is large in amount but leads me to evil vices. So again, it doesn't mean that if Allah is giving a person wealth, that it's a sign that Allah is displeased with him. No. If that person, with that caveat, with that dua of saying, oh Allah, choose and decide for me, and Allah gives them of wealth, they must just know that Allah has chosen them. Allah has selected them for a muhimma, for a mission. Allah has selected them as one of His agents to look after His dependents. As in the Hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Aghniya'u Al-Fuqara'u Iyali. Al-Fuqara'u Iyali. He said, the poor are my dependents. Wal-Aghniya'u Wukala'i. And the wealthy are my agents. فَإِذَا بَخِلَ وُكَلَاءِ الْعِيَالِ أَذَقْتُهُمْ وَبَالِ وَلَا أُبَالِ. Arabic, Allah, so beautiful, so sweet. He said, the poor are my dependents and the wealthy are my agents. So if my agents are stingy with my dependents, I will strike them with my punishment and it will not concern me. Like Fudayl ibn Ayyad, he said, be careful what you wish for. Because if you wish for a lot of money, even with that caveat, oh Allah, choose and decide for me, and Allah gives it to you, it just means you're going to have a longer court case on the day of Qiyamah. وَمَا لُكْ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبْتَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقْتَ. Your money, where did you get it from and how did you spend it? So more wealth, more responsibility. More to be answerable for. And if we understand the responsibility of that, The responsibility of that trust. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعْلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. And spend out of that which Allah has made you trustees of. وَآتُوهُمْ مِمَّا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. And give to them of Allah's money that which is given to you. If we understand that, then that wealth can be our ticket to Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in everything that He's given us. And keep away from us everything that which is bad for us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So whenever a person increases in age, their longing for wealth decreases. Also because they know, because now most of their friends, if not 50% of their friends, is allemaal weg. Stof, Doringhoogte, Mowbray, Constantia. And now new one nearby, Stegman Road. Anyways. The bottom line being, Jamaatul Muslimin, that when we attend a janaza, we know that we are also going to go. Kullu bini untha. Kullu bini untha wa in talat salamatuhu yawman ala alati hadba'a manqulu. فَإِذَا حَمِلْتَ إِلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً فَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُولٌ. The poet says, every single child of a woman, meaning every human being, no matter how long they live, one day are going to be carried on the bier. The bier. Not beer. The bier. The bier is a cattle. That one day every person is going to be carried. He said, "Kullu bini untha wa in talat salamatu yawman ala alati hadba." Alati hadba manqulu. Every human being, no matter how long they live, one day are going to be carried on the cattle to the graveyard. فَإِذَا حَمِلْتَ إِلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً. Then the poet turns to us and he says, so the next time you carry a janaza to the graveyard, فَعْلَمْ. Then know this, أَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُولُ. Then you're also going to be carried thereafter. When, we don't know. Nobody knows when or where they're going to die. وَمَا تَدْرِ نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. Not a single person knows where or when they are going to die. So we have to live every single day as if it's our last day. But at least, as we get older, attending all those janazas, we should at least know that into that qabr doesn't go 1 cent. No pocket. I've never seen a kafan with a pocket for a cell phone or a pocket for, what they call it? A tiki pocket, no? Tiki pocket for a 2 bob, or even a place for a SIM card. By the way, there's no network 6 foot under. Written on the door of that qabr, لَقَدْ جَئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. You have come unto us singular, like customs at the airport. But the airport, there's a green light, nothing to declare, and a red light, something to declare. Everybody goes for the green light. Unfortunately, the qabr has only one door, and it's a big red light. And written on that door is, you have come unto us singular, just like we created you for the first time. Everything barra, everything outside of the qabr, only you. And what? يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثٍ. 3 things will follow the deceased person. 3 things will follow the deceased person. مَالُهُ وَأَهْلُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ. Their wealth, their family, and their actions. فَيَرْجِعُ اثْنَانِ وَيَبْقَى مَعَهُ وَاحِدٌ. 2 will go back, which is the wealth and the family. And only 1 thing will remain with us in the qabr, and that is our good deeds. So, getting older, what do I have need of all this wealth? What do I have need of striving for more wealth? Of gathering more material possessions? No need. Because when they put me in that qabr, only my good deeds are going with me into that qabr. Ya man bidunyahu ishtaghal. O ye who is preoccupied with accumulation of material possessions. وَغَرَّهُ طُولُ الْأَمَلِ. And he's deceived by false hope. Deceived by false hope. In other words, we continue chasing the dunya as if we're going to live here forever. That is the ultimate deception. الْمَوْتُ يَأْتِي بَغْتَةً وَالْقَبْرُ صُنْدُوقُ الْعَمَلِ. Ya man bidunyahu ishtaghal. O ye who is preoccupied with chasing after the dunya. وَغَرَّهُ طُولُ الْأَمَلِ. And he's deceived by false hope, thinking they're going to live forever. الْمَوْتُ يَأْتِي بَغْتَةً. Death comes suddenly. Malik al-Mawt doesn't make appointments. وَالْقَبْرُ سُنْدُوكُ الْعَمَلِ And the grave is our box of good deeds. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ الْهَا يُلْهِي إِلْهَاءً What does that mean? أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ Accumulation of wealth will distract you from Allah, from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Allah says in the Quran, Surah At-Takathur. At-Takathur means to amass wealth. Al-Hakum At-Takathur. That accumulation of wealth will continue to distract you and divert you away from the remembrance of Allah until you visit the graveyard. Because at the graveyard, especially when you get older and half of your chummies are already lying in the maqbara, then you come to realize. And if we haven't come to realize, Allah says, سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ You will come to realize. If you don't realize now, you will come to realize then, but then it's going to be too late. كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ Indeed, you will come to know. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ Then indeed, you will come to know. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to wake up now from our state of heedlessness and carelessness, before we wake up then and it is too late. So whenever he increases in age, his longing for wealth and his greed decreases. And whenever they increase in wealth, so whenever they increase in knowledge, they become more mindful and fearful of Allah and they become more humble in front of the creation of Allah. In front of Allah and the creation of Allah. Whenever they increase in age, their longing for the dunya decreases. Whenever they increase in wealth, then their generosity and philanthropy increases. Their generosity and their philanthropy increases. You know, the first thing that we should think of when Allah gives us more wealth is not how much more we're amassing. Because in Islam, we're not allowed to hoard money. الَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ يَكْنِزُونَ مِنَ الْكَنْزِ People that hoard wealth. وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ They've seen to their needs. They've seen to their dependents' needs. And over and above that, they are just hoarding. So that they can say to themselves, oh, I'm worth so much. You know, first they aim for 1 million, then for 10 million, then for 100 million, then for 1 billion, and so on and so forth. الَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاؤُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ Those that hoard up their wealth and don't spend it in the path of Allah, give them the tidings of a painful torment. The day when they and their wealth will be cast into the fire. And then out of that wealth will be cast a branding rod. And they'll be branded on their foreheads, on their sides, and on their backs. This is what you hoarded up for yourselves on the dunya. So now taste that which you've hoarded up. Ma'adallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding in terms of our responsibility with the wealth that Allah has granted us. So the first thing, the wealth is increasing, right? Allah's chosen me. I'm one of his agents. Let me go look for his dependents. And where's the first place we must look? Where's the first category on whom we should be spending? Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse 215, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ They ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in what way should they spend? In what way should they donate? The Prophet ﷺ is commanded to say, قُلْ مَا أَنفَقْتُم مِّن خَيْرٍ Whatever donations or whatever you are giving of goodness, then firstly, it is for the parents, فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ The relatives, وَالْيَتَامَ The orphans, وَالْمَسَاكِينِ The needy, وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ And the wayfarer. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٍ And whatever good you are doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing of that. The more wealth, not the more hoarding. The more wealth, the more spending. And charity begins? Charity begins at home. Yes, we have a direct responsibility with our dependents. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل دينار ينفقه الرجل دينار ينفقه على عياله. The best coin that a man can spend is a coin that he spends on his dependents. And that includes his parents if they are dependent on him. And especially when that parent is in need, why do you think we don't give zakah to our parents? Because they are our responsibility. One day a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and complained that his father took of his wealth, but for something that he needed. His father took something of his wealth, but for something that he needed. In fact, on one occasion it was for his aunt, because she was in need. And on another occasion, it was for himself, for his father, because he was in need. And so the Prophet ﷺ summoned the father. And when the father was on his way, the father was muttering something to himself. And so Jibreel knew what the man was muttering. And he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he told the Prophet ﷺ, when the man comes, ask him what he was muttering. Ask him what he was muttering. So the man came in front of the Prophet ﷺ and the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, why does your son complain about you? Do you intend to take his wealth? The old man said, ask him, O Messenger of Allah, I do not intend to spend except on one of his aunts or on myself when I'm in need. The Prophet ﷺ then said, never mind that, tell us about something you said to yourself, that which you were muttering to yourself, that which Jibreel has informed him of, that which your ears did not hear. The old man said, by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, Allah continues to increase us in certainty through you. How did you know this? Only by revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet via Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Certainty through it. I did say something to myself that my ears did not hear. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, speak and I am listening. The old man said, he said, actually it's in a poetic form in Arabic, and I've put it together here in English. You thrived on what I earned and gathered, while my care for you only furthered. When illness struck you deep at night, I stayed awake, not seeking respite. Restless turning through each hour, as if the pain was mine to endure. My eyes would weep, though you were afflicted, for your suffering left me conflicted. My soul feared death would steal you away, though it knew that death had its appointed day. When you reached the age and height of all my dreams and hopes in sight, you repaid me with harshness, cold and true, as if the favor was mine from you. Oh, had you honored not my role as a father, at least like a neighbor, treat me no farther. It was actually ChatGPT that gave that to me, by the way. And so on reciting these words, he said, then the Prophet ﷺ took his son by the scruff of his thobe. He took him by the scruff of his thobe. He said, "Anta wa maluka li abik." You and your wealth belong to your father. And it is mentioned that a man said to the Prophet ﷺ, indeed my parents have reached old age such that I do for them what they did for me in my youth. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Have I fulfilled their rights? So that's a person that understands that they should spend on their parents. Have I fulfilled their rights? The Prophet said, no, for they did that while they loved your continuation, and you did it while you were waiting for them to die. Wallahi, we don't know the rights that our parents have on us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Jamaatul Muslimin, we've come to the end of our khutbah. Let us just complete the words of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. Whenever he increases in wealth, his generosity and philanthropy increase, and whenever his stature and prestige increase, his closeness to the people and his efforts to fulfill their needs and show humility towards them also increase. خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. What did the Prophet say? The best of people are those that are the most beneficial to people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Make us of the muttaqeen. وَمِنْ عِبَادِهِ الصَّالِحِينَ إِلَى جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ عَنِ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.